You know, on special days, I don't always feel like we have to preach along that line, but I seek the Lord for a message. But this morning, I do feel like the Lord gave me a message along this line, Mother's Day, thinking about what we heard in Sunday school about mothers. Somebody mentioned Susanna Wesley and how that she had a very large family. I forget, 16 was it? 19 children. And she was a very dedicated mother that taught her children to pray. She did this on purpose. She spent time with those children. I had heard previously that she dedicated to spend an hour a week with each child. Now, that don't sound like a lot until you have 19 children. Of course, they didn't all live to be old. But, you know, mothers like that affect the world in a very positive way. And she had two sons that very, very positively affected her children, the world. And we have a song or maybe several songs in our book from one or two of those. John and Charles Wesley, I believe Charles wrote a lot of songs, and there was a lot of good done from that. But I think about how vital and how important and what a great blessing and a privilege it is for us to be in a setting like this where mothers are mothers. They love their children. They see the vision of what it is that God that God made their children for and worked diligently to teach those children. You know, I thank the Lord for that this morning. It's a wonderful privilege if you have a godly mother. My mother-in-law this morning, as she does so often, texted me and told me she was praying for me. I wait for that every Sunday morning. It helps me. Gives me a little extra confidence. I thank the Lord for that kind of thing. There's been many years of that kind of support. I thank the Lord for those things. They're a blessing. You know, I was thinking about the Bible and the books of the Bible. There are a lot of different kinds of books in the Bible. There's books of instruction. There's books of history. We have the story of creation and how it came about from the Bible. We have books. We have the book of Ruth and Esther, stories that are passed to us. And we have books of instruction and some that deal mostly with prophecy, things to come. But, you know, there is a chapter in Proverbs that most of us are very familiar with, the last chapter of Proverbs 31, that speaks to the virtuous woman. And I want to not preach to us this morning, but give, if you will, a little tribute to a godly woman. What the Bible says of it, and the blessing and the value of it this morning. You know, there are many different, as we said, kinds of books in the Bible. There are very many different chapters, but few there are that really just are a tribute. But we find in Proverbs 31 a tribute to a godly woman. And it starts in verse 10 and begins clear to the end of the chapter. There's 22 verses there. It's an acrostic poem. That is a poem that starts with a different letter. If you was to write mother there and write a sentence for each one of those letters in mother, that would be acrostic. This is a poem that had 22 verses that each one of them started with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so when we look through here, it just gives us a little more insight into what the writer was saying when we see that. It says here, starting in verse 10, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And you know, I just want to, as we said, speak a little tribute here this morning. What is a virtuous woman? What does this word really mean? And why is it so valuable? You know, price means the value of something. How much is something worth? That's the price you put on it. Yesterday we were at a place where they were selling all kinds of antiques, and everybody had to put their price. This is what it's worth to me. But you know, the writer under inspiration says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. You can't put a price on this, folks, because the value of it is far, far above what you could put a price on. You couldn't put a career. You couldn't put a world of goods. You couldn't put fame, fortune, or anything else on this, because its price is not measured that way. And so, as we look at this, the word virtue, it really, if the commentary, one of the commentaries kind of sums it up, a woman of power and strength. You know, now, sometimes we don't think of women in that term, do we? But you know what this is speaking of? A woman, a godly woman, a woman in her place, a woman that knows her place, and yet in her place is a woman of strength and fortitude and manliness and valor when it comes to needing strength. And so it's the same word. We'll just look through these verses a little bit. I'm not going to probably comment on all of them much, but this same word is used in Joshua 10 and 7, where it says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. You know, it's chiefly speaking here of a woman of strength, a woman that's brave, a woman that has that kind of place. And we want to look a little more about who this woman is and how she comes to that kind of place. When we're young, we don't have those kind of graces, do we? But somebody, who can find this one, the scripture says, that has come to this place of maturity, that has grown in ways that brings them to this kind of blessing, that has the kind of effect that the scripture here says that it has. And so, as we look through this, I think about, before we go on, though, I want to think a little more about the value of this kind of woman, the value of this kind of mother. You know, I think about the fiber of our country. We're missing something as a whole in our country because we're missing the mothers that raised those children every day. We're missing that element that, like Susanna Wesley, spent time to pray, to teach her children to pray herself until she had blessing. But that produces in the next generation fiber. It produces moral and spiritual fiber. It produces within lives the things that make countries, that make people what they are. Do you know the leaders of all the countries of the world, the leaders of everything there is, they were one day a little baby at one time, weren't they? They were one day being rocked in somebody's arms. And so we see that there is great value because who these people are came from a mother, didn't it? And you know, you look even, we don't have to look to the great leaders of the world. The fabric, the fiber of men and women on when they have their responsibilities to do, the character that people have. Do you know that is given daily from the mother? The father has a great influence, and it's not Father's Day. I'm not trying to bring out their place, but you know what? The mothers have a tremendous influence on the world to come. They have a tremendous influence on the kind of people that we have in society today. And so when we see this, folks, my hat's off to godly women. My respect, that's just a term of use. My respect is to those that have virtue and that work on themselves, that see the vision, and that become the kind of people that we're fixing to read about here this morning. I've known some of these kind of people. And folks, that is a blessing that you couldn't have. It's priceless to have that. You know, it says her price is far above rubies. That's the precious stone. That's the precious stones of the earth. I think you could say it's far above precious metals. It's far above those things. And it's eternal. And I want us to remember that. You know, we're not just going to die as an animal does. We have a soul, don't we? That makes it vastly, vastly more important. And so when we see mothers that take care of those kind of things, and they see the vision, I have a child here. This child, his eternal future is in my hands possibly. The way that I train this child is very important this morning. Not only do societies hinge on it, but our souls do as well. And so in the 11th verse, it goes on to say, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, this morning, she isn't strong in the way of women's liberation. She's been liberated, but it's from herself. It's from being selfish she's been liberated. It's not liberated from her place in the home. And her head, her husband as her head, it's not liberated from those things. You know, this godly woman, it says the heart of her husband safely trust in her. He doesn't just trust in her, but it's very safe for him to trust in her because of the kind of character that she is. I just want to extol this kind of character this morning, not lifting up a person. But you know what? This character is valuable, isn't it? Can we catch the vision? Can we see the vision of what God would have for each one of us? And the value of it, the price, what is the price? It's a lifetime. I've heard it said, the person that has a big family, that's their big investment in life. Other people may invest in other things, but that's their investment in life. And largely, that's true. And so we go on. Her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Not for things, not for children. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, another little mark of these kind of women, this virtuous woman, it doesn't stop sometime. It doesn't come to an end, but it says all the days of her life, to the very end. You know, we went out to see Brother Jim and Sister Anika yesterday, I guess it was, or no, it was the day before. And they are celebrating their 60th anniversary. To me, this next week on Wednesday, I love that. I love that. They've been faithful. They've been faithful to each other. They've been faithful to keep the Lord in their life all these years. And now, here they are, way up in advanced years. Maybe not the best of health. Brother Jim is in good health. But, you know, we see something there all the days of her life, it says. It's a mark to reach for, isn't it? She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly. You know, I see this with her hands, it says. She worketh willingly. Unselfish qualities. She's grown past that. And I say past that because, folks, when we were little, we were all selfish. It was all me and mine, wasn't it, when we were little? But we had to change, didn't we? We had to give that up. We had to become something we weren't. And here the scripture extols a virtue in this woman. She, it says, seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You know, I see in that, I see the strength and the vision that this woman has. It goes on to say, she considereth a field and buyeth it. And with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. You know what I see in this? I see somebody that has changed. Somebody that has grown. Somebody that has become a person of great virtue. Isn't it a mark? Isn't it, when we know these kind of people, isn't it something for us to reach for today? She considereth a field and buyeth it. So is she an independent? Does she do? No, we're not. There's nothing in the scriptures here that speaks of anything where she has put her husband aside. It says her husband, down toward the end, it says, her husband also, he praiseth her. They're not in competition. This is something working together. This is something beautiful. There isn't a desire here where she's on display to be liberated from her place. No, it's a place God gave. It's a place that when it's filled well, it's full of honor and full of blessing. And everywhere you read down through these scriptures, we'll continue on. Everywhere you find it blesses people on every hand. Everywhere you find the riches of those that have allowed the maturing of the Lord to happen in their life. It's a mark for us to see. It's a vision for us to catch. That we see what's there, something bigger than us. Something that says more than just a party. More than just what I want. More than just what I want to look like. More than just where I want to go. But something much greater, much grander than that. Something that is of intense value, eternal value. And this woman gives her life to it all the days of her life. And she overcomes her natural selfish ways of maybe laziness some. Maybe independence others. But we find someone here that takes upon them the mantle of responsibility. That takes upon them the mantle to be that kind of person that is so rare in today's world. I just want to say thank you to the mothers that have done that. I have seen it. I have seen it quite a number of times. And I thank God for it this morning. Fill your job well. I believe you'll be greatly rewarded. My work this morning is not to preach to someone, but rather to give a tribute to what God put in place this morning. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Do you know these things build one upon another? This is an acrostic poem. This has a different letter starting each one. A beautiful thing that it brings out here. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Do you know that responsibility, maturity, allowing God to work in our life in these ways? Do you know what it brings? It brings confidence. She perceives that it's good. She sees that it's valuable. She sees that it's been worth her while. And it says, her candle goeth not out by night. How many times have we seen that mother? What happens? We have some expectant mothers here today. What happens when the child is born? There's something that automatically comes into play. that all just happens. What happens that a mother would die before she would let her baby hurt in a way that is wrong, in a way that would hurt the child in any way of abuse? How could she? But we find it becoming more and more rare in our society. I believe if we could grasp a hold and feel the value and feel the strength and the blessing of these kind of things, I think we would find more women wanting to be godly mothers. And so when that child is born, there's a connection there that I've never been a mother. But I will tell you, I believe I have the feeling a little bit. When the Lord gave me a call here, I believe He gave me that same feeling. And, you know, there is a love that cannot be it cannot be taken away. I don't know anybody that I don't love intensely. It doesn't matter who or what or how. I don't know anybody. That's the way a mother is if they allow God to be in their life today. And so it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Verse 19 is speaking about clothing. She's willing to do whatever she needs to do to see that her family is clothed. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Do you know that this is part of the description of this virtuous woman? She's not a selfish woman. Selfishness has fled. Selfishness has somehow disappeared. All those little things, she's begun to grow. Through her life, she changes. And we find her stretching out her hand to the poor. And why is this so important? Not only because the Bible says to, that's very important. It's important that we have that kind of compassion in our heart. But do you know that when you stretch out your hands to the poor, your children see that? And do you know that when they see the poor and they become very used to that, instead of the glamour that is shown on the TV constantly and all those, do you know that they get a different picture than they do otherwise? They get a picture of something, I'm so thankful for what I have. They get a picture of being able to help others. It changes the dynamics of a family. And so this morning, I believe when the Spirit of the Lord inspired this writer to write this poem for us, I think there was a lot in there for us as we look down through here. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now that word scarlet, I believe what that means is, it means double clothed. It means they have the clothing for the winter that comes. It's not in the normal sense of scarlet as a color or whatever. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, how is it? I've marveled at this scripture so many times through the years. How is it that her husband is known in the gates? Because she has a profound influence on him. Not only does it take his integrity, but I will tell you, if a man is going to reach forth into things, he needs a woman to be with him, to be his helpmeet, to be beside him, to help him make decisions, to help him balance, to give wisdom, to give many things. A man that goes on his own is missing something vital. He's missing something that that could actually be the blessing and the promotion that he needs in life. And so it says her husband is known. Why does it says her husband is known? It doesn't say she is a virtuous woman because of her husband. It says she has this profound influence. Peter speaks of the influence of a godly woman even on an unsaved man. And so we see that God has given a very special place there to women in this world. And I just want to thank the Lord and thank each one that is this way. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Do you know that that law of kindness, it changes things, doesn't it? Wisdom and kindness, they take their place alongside of her other attributes. When a woman or a man lives godly like this, when they see the vision and they give themselves to it, do you know that there's some things that naturally come to them? And two of them are wisdom and kindness. And when they have that kind of character, it changes the dynamics of things around them. We look on down now, and it says here, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I've known ladies like this. I have a wife like that, and I'm thankful. I have a number of models in our life, not beauty queens, although my wife's beautiful. But you know what? Beautiful in the things of God. Beautiful when it comes to sacrifice. How many times have you seen a woman say, "Oh, I don't want any more"? And you know, if there was more, they would want more. But it's about all gone, and they don't want any more, and they won't take any more. You know what? There's something that has developed in their character, isn't there? Something that through a lifelong habit of being godly, through a lifelong habit of serving their family, of being alongside their husband, inspiring confidence in him as best as possible, of inspiring in their children a love for the things of God. They said of Susanna Wesley that she prayed, this is what Sister Marcia said this morning, 2 hours a day. Is that right? That's a pretty lengthy prayer. And you know what? But I can only believe that her heart was wrapped up in it. She had a lot on her plate. She was busy probably constantly day and night. But you know what? She had a vision of something. Her eyes were opened to the possibilities. Her eyes were opened to her responsibilities. And she wasn't in competition with anybody. She wasn't in competition with her husband. She was supporting him. And we find her work was not always easy. This is not an easy life, but it's a life that makes the fiber of families what it is. It is a life that makes the fiber of countries what it is. I just want to challenge every one of us this morning, mothers, young mothers, expectant mothers, settle it in your hearts. Get a vision of those things that bring about this kind of thing. But you know, in the end, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Do you know that we don't do things for praise? We don't do things for honor. We do things for responsibility. People work hard. I was thinking about the firefighters on 9/11 that was in those two towers. You know, they weren't thinking They weren't thinking this is going to bring me great honor, because they were very, very possibly, many of them laid their lives down that day. But you know what? They were taking care of responsibilities. They were doing their job well. Do you know that they saved many lives too? This morning, mothers, that's what you do. And I give a tribute to you today that take that job. Her children arise up and call her blessed. What a privilege, what a blessing it is to have that. What a blessing it is. It comes from a life of sacrifice. It comes from a life of vision that we care, that we reach out in so many different ways. Now, she had, Susanna Wesley did, 19 children or so. And yet, I believe if you read, you find she reached out to the poor. I haven't read a lot about her, but I've read that much. Do you know that that's the kind of character that was developed in her this morning? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's something wonderful about feeling accomplished, knowing you did a job well. We're not talking about an ungodly desire for honor from people. But folks, there is something wonderful to know that you gave it your best. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. We know that's true. It passes. Those beautiful days of youth, those days when the young man is strong, they pass, don't they? It's not quite the same. As we get older, we're not as strong. We're not quite the same as we were. But you know what? A woman that feareth the Lord, that don't pass away, does it? It in fact only becomes richer. It becomes sweeter as the days go by. That fruit that she has sown and that work she has done yields fruit. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so this morning, I just give that little tribute from the Word of God to mothers. I want to look at Ruth 1 and 16 here. It says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Who was Ruth? She was Naomi's daughter-in-law, wasn't she? Well, who was Naomi? She was a woman that lived in Israel, and she was married to a man named Ahimelech, I believe. And we find that she moved to Moab when her boys were small. And her boys grew up and married there. And her husband died. And then her two boys died. And so she had just her and her daughter-in-laws. But this woman, Naomi, lived in such a way that when she left, her daughter-in-laws both wanted to go with her. And she told them, she said, stay behind. Don't, what? I can't have another child for you. You wouldn't wait for him if I did. You wouldn't want to wait. But you know what? Ruth loved her mother-in-law. She caught the vision of what she was, of who she was. She was a woman of faith, a woman of God. And Ruth caught the vision. And she said these very, very well-known words. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You know, we hear that said a lot of times at weddings, but this wasn't a wedding. This was a daughter-in-law. But she caught the vision of what she saw in her mother-in-law's life. And so this morning, we thank God for the many examples that we have seen and had. And so I was just thinking a few more little thoughts about what a mark it is for us men to nurture and care for our wives. Remember what a load they have. Remember what a job it is. I don't know if you've ever had to fill in for them, but I have a few times. And I'll tell you this, it's a job. It's a job. Nurture and care for them. Make them feel our love and our respect for what they do. Give to them the honor that's due to them. Help them develop into the jewels that God made them to be. Because these are jewels. These are beautiful things. I've known some ladies, some sisters that were beautiful. They were beautiful in our eyes. And I'm not talking about in a physical sense. They were beautiful people. They had beautiful character. Let's develop one another. Let's work with one another. What a treasure it is when families are raised in such a way that the children see love and they see something they want to become and want to be. What a treasure it is when we see, when there's something there for them to behold. What a treasure it is when they see the attributes, the character traits of the Lord between us. What a challenge it is for us to set our life in such a way that we see the vision, that we catch the vision of something way more than what this world has to offer, way more than the money that could be made or the things that could be accomplished in life or the parties that could be had, but something far greater than that. I thank God for that kind of vision this morning. I thank the Lord for His word to us. It's a gift to mankind. A sister that is like this is a gift to her family. She's a gift to the world. And I hope you feel it. I hope you don't buy into the philosophies of the world all around us, of women's liberation and all of those things. So far from the ideas of God. So far from the things that make society strong and hopeful. So far from the gift of God that He wants to give us. I hope we catch the vision. I hope we, and I know many here have that vision already. But you know what? Let's realize the value of it. Let's don't be beat down today. God has given something wonderful. I want to read just a couple of other places. In 2 Timothy 1, we find here a mother that was a godly woman. 1 and 3 of 2 Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This is Paul the Apostle writing here. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. The unfeigned, it's not make-believe. Timothy, I know what's in you. I've known you a while. The faith that's genuine, the faith that changes our lives. He said, it means something so much to me, greatly desiring to see thee. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. What a privilege. This man, Timothy, had a lineage. Now, we don't all have that, do we? But it has to start somewhere, doesn't it? Somebody has to be that grandmother that starts it. Somebody has to be that person that starts it in some day. Then it's their children and their grandchildren. And so he says, I'm persuaded it's in you also, Timothy. It was first in your grandmother. I knew her. And then it was in your mother, Eunice. And so we see the value of these things. And we have treasures left behind from some of that, don't we? Let's look on over in the third chapter in the 14th verse. And it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What a privilege. Somebody knew the Holy Scriptures from a child. Who taught them? I've seen mothers that taught their children the Scriptures. You teach them in Sunday school, I'll tell you what, they know. You ask them a question, they know the answer. They've been taught. Somebody counted it worth their while, diligently, through the months, through the years, through the toil, through the confusion of all that happens in life. They had the vision to teach those children the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, those Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation, able to make us thoroughly furnished unto all good works, not ignorant of things that we need to know. And so this morning, I just thank the Lord this morning for the tribute that He gave us in Proverbs and different places to these godly women. And I thank God for you. I thank God for the godly women here that have caught the vision. The Lord help each one of us in the midst of life to fill our places well. Men, fill our places well. We have a treasure right beside us. Let's take care of them. Let's help develop them. It is them helping develop us. It is us helping develop them. Many times, the confidence that a man needs is given by his wife. You can do it. You can do it. That was okay. You're all right. The Lord's going to help us here. Or they may say, that's not okay. You know, let's don't do that. But you know what? We need each other, don't we? We need that valuable, most valuable input this morning. Thank the Lord for our godly women and mothers. Amen.